Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for you tuning in. We hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have any comment to make about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, certainly we'd give consideration to any Bible question or subject that you might have, but you have to contact us, and you can do so at the address as given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Also, we want to remind you that the East Abbotville Church of Christ has a website that contains these radio programs as well as sermons that are presented at the East Abbotville Church of Christ. We also have a live feed section that you can go and see either the services at the times that they're being done, or you can look back and be able to view services, sermons, Bible classes that have been done in the past. Or you can take this to the YouTube channel that the church has. All of these are things that are available on a website, along with numerous articles on Bible subjects. You can do a search on any particular subject you're interested in and go directly to that article. If you'd like to study your Bible, we have a Bible correspondence course. This is something that you can take at your own pace. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. All of these and much more is available at www.eastabbotville.org. You and I are not a fan of pain. I avoid it whenever I can. But since pain is a part of life, we know that it must have a purpose. And truth in the matter is, it has several. Sometimes pain keeps us from injuring ourselves. Sometimes it may merely remind us of the inadequacies of this life. And in so doing, it increases our longing for the world to come. And sometimes it challenges our character. It allows us to find out how important something is to us. Take, for instance, how much pain that we will be willing to endure for something that is really important to us. It's with that thought in mind that that kind of pain is apparently what the inspired writer addresses in Hebrews chapter 12. And there in verse 5, he calls it the chastening of the Lord. Some translations say the discipline of the Lord. And what we have there in verse 5, where it says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him," that is a quote from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. But his point is that serving Christ will hurt us physically. That's not the point. Although that was sometimes the case of those that we read about in our New Testament, but instead, the Hebrew writer is addressing what we might call the growing pains that are a part and are partial with the Christian living their lives. God wants us to share his holiness. That we see here in Hebrews 12 as we look down into verse 10. "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." And we know that we are to be holy as he is holy. In fact, Peter talks about this in 1 Peter. In chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse 14, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And so he reveals that holiness in his word. And as we read the word, we quickly find out that we don't measure up very well. We find our hands to be weak, our knees to be feeble. We find that we are incapable sometimes of walking the straight path as he requires. So we need therapy. I guess it's another way of considering it. And the thing about therapy is therapy hurts. But time and time again, we look into what James describes as the perfect law of liberty in James 1 and verse 25, and we find ourselves lacking in some area. We find that we're not denying our worldly lust. We find that we're not trying to bring souls to Jesus. We find that God's requirement for worship and service are not the same as what we're willing to offer. And we don't want to change. It's more comfortable to do what we want to do. So how do we react? Do we resent God because of his requirements? Well, we shouldn't. As the text here in Hebrews 12 indicates, his discipline, his chastening, is just as much a demonstration of his love as it is his grace. He wants us to be better than we are, and far often more than what we wanted for ourselves. You know, it's dishonest to argue that God should love us just the way we are. And I'm sure you've heard that statement. You've heard that statement made by preachers. You've heard that statement made by churches. You've probably seen it on church marquees. Come as you are. Friends, that's not a statement of God. Obviously, God does love us, but that doesn't mean that he will accept us that way. Any more than, take for instance, our love for our children. Would that allow us to let our children play in traffic? Would it allow us to let our children go ahead and swallow antifreeze just because it's what pleases them? Friends, we can, as verse 15 of Hebrews 12 says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, we can allow a root of bitterness to convince us that God is only trying to deny us our pleasures. God just don't want to have us, let us have a good time. But in doing this, we keep his grace from transforming, changing us, and changing us, which to the Christian should be the greatest pleasure that we have in this world. Do we satisfy ourselves with our current uncorrected state? You know, we have that option. We can decide that the therapy is too much trouble and just give up on it. You know, a cripple decides not to rehabilitate his broken legs, but that decision will permanently cost him the ability to walk. And so it is. When you and I reject God's therapy, rejecting God's therapy assures us of never becoming what God has in mind for us. And like Esau, we are sure to regret it in time. You know, as profane as it was for Esau to trade his birthright for a mere bowl of soup, it's far worse when we despise God's holiness to the point that we refuse to make the extra effort in order to follow after and to obtain God's righteousness. Do we realize our situation at some point? Convincing ourselves that, well, you know, surely God wouldn't want me to take it this far. You know, it's easy for us to decide how much suffering is adequate, but it isn't our decision to make. When you talk about athletes in certain sports, and even the Hebrew writer makes mention of this in the very first verse of Hebrews chapter 12. He said, "Wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And then look at verse 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You see, we can grow weary. We can lose heart. But what the writer here is saying is, let us refuse to do that. The shedding of blood in the competition that he's talking about here, or even in practice, was no excuse for quitting. Jesus warns us that his service may cost us everything that we hold dear. He mentions that in Luke chapter 24. Notice what we see in verses 26 and verse 27. "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory?" And so, beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning him. And then, in chapter 14, we notice Jesus says in verse 26 and 27, "They drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But he said, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.'" If we are truly counted the cost, and he requires that, because all we have to do is go on down here in Luke 14 and read verse 28 about two instances of when it was necessary to count the cost, whether in the building of a tower or for a king to go out and to make war. You have to sit down and count the cost. So he warns us that our being a Christian may cost us everything. And if we've truly counted the cost as he requires, then we will continue to pursue his holiness in our lives, regardless of the consequences. See, it all hinges on how much we want our inheritance. No one will see the Lord without sanctification. That's what verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 12 tells us. Notice he says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness with which no man shall see the Lord." So if the heavenly home is really our fondest hope, it is really our greatest expectation, we will not balk at the challenges of God that are placed in front of us. Instead, we will show gratitude. Notice verse 28. "Wherefore we receive in a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So let us offer to God an acceptable service with this reverence and do whatever it takes to become the person that God would have us to be. Our time is up. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. It's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.